Defendants must pay thousands in fines and fees or pay for costly appeals to state court. And poor residents fall into patterns of debt they cannot easily escape. This is your typical bunch of scumbags, no? Reverend Vincent Witt. It's always a tough name to have, Witt. There was a cat down the road named Witt. We used to call him Half or Dim. Reverend Vincent Witt, who was pulled over at a stop sign in Brookside by a cop because he had a paper tag. Witt's car was a new purchase, and the tag was legitimate. But Witt says he asked if Brookside pulled everybody over like this, and says the police officer called him a racial slur and told him to stay out of town. A racial slur against a black man? Maybe this is Joe Biden's house. I don't... You know, sidebar. Biden says, I'm going to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. Yeah, okay. That sounds fair. It's insane. Obviously, he's feeling guilty. I mean, one of the most racist guys. He's just days away from letting it slip. You have to think. I don't know how he's keeping it in. He doesn't keep it in when he's not on camera, when he's out of public eye. But he is. The fact that you would say that proves that you're racist. I think. That's how you see right away. There's a spot open on the Supreme Court. We'll appoint a black woman. That's how you think right away. If right away you're thinking about color, or you're thinking about appointing a black woman or anybody of any racial persuasion over another racial persuasion, not taking the most qualified person, then you're thinking and using the thought pattern of somebody who's racist. Sorry. It's plain and simple. The Reverend Witt called the police department and filed a complaint. That's what he wanted to do, and was told he would have to do so in person. That's bad. Kids, whenever the cops tell you to come down and file in person, or come on down, we'll talk it out. Just stop down. We have some questions for you. Your next call is a lawyer. Take it from me. Then things turn bizarre for the Reverend. Witt and his sister, who was not even in the car with him, were subsequently charged with impersonating police officers. When is somebody going to charge the actual police department for impersonating police officers? You guys are coming off a lot of as politicians, not cops. Brookside put their pictures up on their Facebook page, Most Wanted, and the website Crime Stoppers featured the photos of Reverend Witt and his sister as suspects, dangerous suspects. This is fucking crazy. The case was eventually dropped after damaging the Witt's reputation. Reverend Witt, that's a tough road. You get the flock in there when your pictures, your mugshots up. Witt and his sister have sued in federal court for malicious prosecution. Brookside has claimed that the officers involved are entitled to qualify immunity from the lawsuit. Perhaps an indicator of how big the problem is in Brookside. District Court Judge Abdul Khalan for the United States District Court for the Northern District of Alabama only allowed immunity for the stop itself. He ruled that the bizarre police behavior afterward was not protected. Well, that's good. Pastor Witt and his sister. I mean, that is just insane, fabricating charges against. You know, the cops can do this, man. The FBI does it. FBI does it all the time. I know too well. There's no federal judges, though, slapping them upside the head. Now, asset forfeiture is something I blew the roof off as a reporter in New Jersey. So I know a lot about asset forfeiture. So I'm reading this and I know what the fucking play is here. The play is to take your shit and sell it at auction and put money, right? $630,000 in fines. Fucking child's play. You make money by stealing assets from people. A house, a car. Oh, you get pulled over? You got $5,000 on you. Where are you going? I'm going to buy another car. Oh, yeah. You're a fucking drug dealer. Give me the money. What? This is all about civil asset forfeiture. And I know the cat who ran it for a long time in D.C. Not a friendly guy. This guy would steal your wallet. This is about theft. They got a good little crime spree going on down there. And the good reverend is lucky they didn't seize his car. That's what this is about. And now since this has gone public, the police chief has resigned. And guess what happens? He gets a pension. You'll continue to pay him, and you've paid him for a long time. You'll continue to pay him through the state pension fund. If you haven't already lost your car, your house, your bank account, and any cash you had while you were traveling, they took it from you. That's what this story is really about. Pulling over as many people as they can, hassling as many people as they can, trying to provoke people so they can take their property and sell it for profit, probably to friends of theirs, and they probably get a kickback from that. Oh, snap. Look at Payne figuring out a scheme. Know all the fucking angles, man. That's the best angle. Your town becomes one big spider web. Try to trap as many people as you can. Somebody comes flying through and a faint.
Boy, there's one coming down the road, boy. He's in one of them BMWs, boy. We gonna get him. I'll get his ass. I'll pull him over. I won't you worry about this. He looks like a city slicker, doesn't he? You bet. Boy.
Do you want my license and registration, officer?
Boy, you are lost now, aren't you? Where are you headed to, boy?
I'm headed down the road. I'm headed to Muscle Shoals.
Muscle Shoals? This road don't go nowhere near Muscle Shoals, boy. What are you doing in this fancy car? You wearing some pretty fancy clothes. Watch you step out. Look at them shoes, boy. Woo, wait, you get them in New York City? Well, look at Mr. Big Shot coming down here. What are you, peddling cocaine? I'm going to need some backup. You're going to have to get down here. We got a city slicker, boy. Come on, need some backup.
And there goes your car. And we're not even talking about planting evidence.
This road don't go nowhere near Muscle Shoals, boy.
Marie Albanese Tamar, I had fun tonight. I'm having a lot of fun doing this. Thanks for being here. See you then. Check out pain.tv. Thanks. Take care and God bless you.
It's only The narrative around the coronavirus pandemic is crumbling. Daily deaths are no longer being published. We have to ask the question, are the decisions that are being made about health or are they about government perception? Hello there, you 4.8 million miracles. Never doubt yourself. There's yet more light and strength to come from within you. If you identify with the power within, surely we can overcome the darkness without. Let's see what's going on in this crazy little world of ours as the narrative around coronavirus continues to crumble. Now, you know me. I'm not in a position to have an opinion on the medical components of this, the legal, the logistical, the political. But what we can observe on the surface, regardless of our opinion around vaccines or mandates or any of that stuff, is a relationship between what the media reports, the decisions that governments make, and whether or not it's for their own expedience. And in America now more than ever, this seems to be altering, crumbling, falling apart. Why is that? A judge in Texas ruled on Friday that President Joe Biden could not require federal employees to be vaccinated against the coronavirus and blocked the US government from disciplining employees who failed to comply. Now, wherever you stand on vaccine mandates, would you agree that it appears that the media is trying to generate a narrative where unvaccinated people are blamed for things and are positioned in a particular way? Of course, I have no opinion on whether or not people should be vaccinated. That's not something that I'm qualified to talk about. But certainly the way it's reported in the media seems to be determined to allocate blame for the problems of the pandemic upon unvaccinated people. For example, hospitals being under a great deal of stress. You could say that's the fault of unvaccinated people, but you could also say, how are these hospitals funded? What kind of support do these hospitals have? It's another question that doesn't even necessarily compete with the narrative of blaming unvaccinated people, but one story is promoted, one story is ignored. I'll tell you more about hospital funding later on. It's very interesting. The order poses a substantial threat of irreparable harm to the liberty interests of employees who must choose between violating a mandate of doubtful validity or consenting to an unwanted medical procedure that cannot be undone. That's Judge Jeffrey V. Brown of the US District Court for the Southern District of Texas. So that's an interesting verdict, particularly when you pair that verdict with much of the mainstream media reporting on the subject of vaccines. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Biden administration said on Friday it will appeal the injunction, but why bother? The White House says that 98% of federal workers have complied. Increasingly, the Biden mandates seem more about punishing than protecting people. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? And it aligns with what Macron said, punishing people. Like, the idea of making punitive medical procedures seems like weird, actually weird. If you've got 98% of federal workers complying, it seems that from a medical perspective, that has been handled. And now what we're talking about is moral, ethical, and perception related issues. The administration argued that civil service laws give the president carte blanche authority over the federal workforce, especially when to protect the public. 98% of people have complied. Keep your carte and keep your blanche. But as Judge Jeffrey Brown explained in his ruling, Congress granted the president limited authority to regulate the conduct of executive branch employees. Getting vaccinated isn't workplace conduct. The judge also noted that the public harm from firing unvaccinated workers who provide vital government services exceeds the negligible public health benefit. That's an interesting observation, isn't it? But the harm from firing unvaccinated workers could be significant. That's a story that isn't told. And I suppose the way that narratives are constructed tells you whose agenda is being served. And I think this is something we have to become critically adept at understanding. While protecting against severe disease, vaccines don't prevent infection and transmission. Why won't the administration back down even following legal defeat? Perhaps because vaccine mandates and coercion are popular with progressive voters. Okay, so now you can see the story is starting to develop. These policies are popular with progressive voters. Who's not popular, even with progressive voters? Joe Biden. So the policies are not about addressing a health crisis, but a political one. And when you start to understand that kind of reality, everything becomes more questionable. A Rasmussen poll last week reported that 59% of Democratic voters would support a government policy confining the unvaccinated to their homes. That's really terrifying, isn't it, when you consider the Democrats' history of being a party of liberty and freedom. I'm not saying comparatively, I'm just saying generally that's what you think of the Democrats as being. We support individual rights, social rights, togetherness. 59% confine people to their homes, except for emergencies. Nearly half, 48% of Democratic voters, also thought the government should be able to fine or imprison individuals who publicly question the efficacy of vaccines on social media. Now, I think there a climate has been created that is potentially toxic and dangerous. Discourse, respect for differing opinions. These are the cornerstones of any society. I don't know that you can even call it a society once you start fining and imprisoning people for expressing an opinion. Another part of the narrative that's changing and being challenged is the story around hospitalization. The story that people want you to read and believe is the unvaccinated are causing a crisis in the hospitals. But what else could be happening? I'm not saying that that's not what's happening. I'm saying that there could be something else. Let's have a look. Burned out nurses across the country are again turning to collective action, including rotating walkouts and demonstrations at dozens of hospitals across the more than 11 states and the nation's capital. As some hospitals teeter dangerously close to buckling under the strain of a record high number of COVID-19 patients, nursing unions are urging a competent and comprehensive pandemic response and calling out the role of for-profit healthcare in the burgeoning crisis. Now, whenever profit is being extracted from a crisis, it is vital that perception is controlled. Otherwise, people's attention will naturally fall upon the fact that profit is being generated and cynicism will increase dramatically. Registered nurses are protesting ever-worsening conditions for both patients and healthcare workers, including dangerous understaffing. And understaffing is, of course, a financial decision. We can't pay these people. We don't want to pay these people. It will affect profits. So understaffing is the result of that, clearly. The surge has meant some hospitals are halting non-urgent procedures and relying on National Guard personnel to fill in critical staffing gaps. I mean, that's worrying, isn't it? That the desire for profit is so voracious that the National Guard are stepping in to do necessary jobs. That means your profit model is inaccurate and false, and that you'll have to control the narrative by finding someone else to blame. That creates a more visceral reaction. Again, I'm not saying, because I have no opinion on whether the unvaccinated people are, you know, that's not my area of expertise. My area of interest is how news is reported in order to elicit particular emotional responses. The CDC's guidelines has led to many hospitals and healthcare facilities compelling COVID-positive doctors and nurses to return to work. Hospital and clinic administrations have argued that such moves are the only way to keep their doors open amid skyrocketing hospitalizations. That's so hypocritical, isn't it? You're firing hospital workers for not having the vaccine, but you're encouraging workers and doctors and nurses who have coronavirus to come back to work early. That seems hypocritical. Nursing unions have criticised the Biden administration's focus on protecting employers' interests, which they say has hampered his administration's pandemic response from being able to quickly adapt to new and predictable variants, noting that the for-profit healthcare system artificially deflates staffing levels to protect hospital employers' bottom lines. Oh, we don't need employees, it's fine, if things are running smoothly. It artificially deflates them in order to generate more profit when the reality is different. Do you see the narrative is crumbling? Because reality and perception have to be kept apart in order to continually pursue the interests of the powerful, in order to deflect blame from where blame should necessarily be deposited. Why are we not seeing stories on CNN blaming the companies that own hospitals for not funding hospitals properly? These are questions that lead you one way, whereas other questions lead you another way. You only ask questions that lead you towards blame these people, blame these people, blame these people, never questions, hey, what are you guys doing? That's always been the game, and it continues to be the game. In a way, this situation is not at all unique. Blame vulnerable people who don't really have any power because they're just a bunch of individuals. Protect powerful institutions that need to continue to profit, whether it's a crisis or not. Profit-driven hospitals' continual failure to invest in safe staffing is what's creating the kind of dangerous working conditions driving nurses away from the profession at a time when they are most needed. Unionised registered nurses say, "Nurses will tell you we are failing because we have let the interests of corporations and our hospital employers dictate our country's response to this virus." That's a story I want to see on the mainstream news. That's what I want to see covered. Nurses saying, look, this is the reality. This is what's happening. Who do you trust in a healthcare crisis? Nurses and doctors or giant corporations? Do you remember at the height of this pandemic when we were told, quite rightly, that our healthcare workers were heroes that we had to appreciate? That's because that's what the narrative required at that time. Now, all of a sudden, unvaccinated healthcare workers are being sacked. Staff are not being sufficiently employed, and healthcare workers that have coronavirus are being forced to come back to work. Where is the heroism now? Where is the appreciation now? Gone, because the narrative doesn't require it. Triunfo Cortes continued, their goal is profit, not saving lives, during a press conference last week. Elizabeth Lalas, an NNU union steward, echoed Triunfo Cortes in identifying the for-profit healthcare system as the primary driver of unsafe staffing, noting, when you're for-profit, what you're thinking about is that bottom line, like, how can I cut a corner? In such a calculation, labour costs for nurses are seen as expensive, so those costs are lowered even when it's unsafe to do so, she says. Look over here, the unvaccinated are causing this. Hey, what about this? You're not paying nurses. You're not funding hospitals. No, but look over there. Look over there. We all have different opinions on how this pandemic should be, could be, might be handled. And we all have to be cautious about how we express them, because the most important thing is that we're able to have an ongoing conversation with one another without harming one another, hurting one another, and resorting to shortcuts like this group of people are bad, that group of people are bad. None of us can afford to do that. We've all got to get along together. Let's focus on what we share and what we have in common rather than what separates us. Because otherwise, how are we going to overcome the deluge of misinformation, tyrannical pursuit of cruel agenda and objectives that's taking place on an international scale? Certainly not by participating in it with our own prejudices and bigotry. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments below. What questions should we be asking? How should information be presented? How would you propose that we have a better discourse? How has this affected you, this pandemic? How do you feel right now? Give this video a like, subscribe to my channel, pass this around among your friends. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at this one. Also have a look at this little guy. Please sign up to my mailing list. I'll let you know what I'm up to all over the world. For example, I'm touring in the UK in March and April. Tickets are available now. There's a link in the description. Stay free.
One, two, three.